Hello, you're listening to Laser Graves, a podcast where we dig up movies, music, books, and events from the 80s and discuss how rad they were. How's it going?
Hello.
Welcome everyone to another episode of Laser Graves. We're trucking along.
Thank you for listening again.
Yeah.
And for coming back with your great enthusiasm.
Yes.
I can feel it.
Unbridled enthusiasm.
It has to be unbridled. Who wants bridled enthusiasm?
Nobody.
Nope.
Okay. Well, I'm a co-host. E.K. Wimmer.
With bridled enthusiasm, and I am Mariah Rose Wimmer, your other host.
And today we're talking about, oh man,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, we'll save that because it's going to be something special. But I'm excited because I finally got another filter, a little pop filter for this mic. So the last few episodes, if they've been obnoxious with my... then I'm sorry about that.
I finally figured out that it's pop filter. I've been calling it a splatter filter.
it's a beatboxer's worst enemy.
Because they want pop?
Yeah. They want pop and lock.
They want unfiltered pop.
That's right.
Oh.
How have you been since the last time I saw you?
I've been well. We spent a large part of our day thrifting.
Yeah, what'd you find?
Nothing really interesting, like some vintage, not handkerchiefs, that's gross, napkins. Nobody wants a vintage used handkerchief.
These are my granny's handkerchiefs.
Look at her boogers. No, I found some vintage, napkins, and we found a weird ceramic triple cat. It's like a Siamese cat.
Yes.
Vase. We have Siamese cats in our family, so we're those people.
Mm-hmm.
But it's vintage, so it's cool, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
What'd you find? Scary stories?
I will have you know, I found two copies, but they were the 25th anniversary, so I, with your voice in my head, put them back and decided I would just exclusively only stick with the originals. But the other day I did find another copy of Part 3, so...
So you saved us 42 cents today.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
However, I did spend 35 cents on the novel of Friday the 13th, Part 3. I was pretty excited to find that. I've never seen that before. And I found a VHS copy of Willow.
It was
in pretty good shape. And one of Escape from New York, which I was excited about because it has an interview with John Carpenter. But the whole front cover was like somebody had put duct tape on it and then decided to rip it off and then put it on the shelf. It just was... a lot removed, so I decided to not spend my 50 cents on that.
I feel like if you would have bought it, if it did just have duct tape on it, right?
I would have. It would have had more character, for sure. And I usually am okay with buying things that are, like, beat up and written on, but this was just ripped off cover, right?
Yeah. I think we both appreciate when books or whatever have writing from their original owners. I love finding in a book a passage underlined and wondering why. Because usually it doesn't make any sense. Like, why did this particular passage resonate with that person? And I'm almost tempted to buy books, underline nonsense, and then deliver them to thrift stores for other people to ponder.
I only underline,
like, thes throughout the entire book.
And they'll be like, what does it mean? She must have been in the Illuminati. I think I'm the same with, I collect all the Goosebumps books and the Fear Street books. And I love, I find really mint copies of Goosebumps. But the ones I love are the little kid's handwriting in there. That's like this book belongs to. And I know that it was loved and it was read. And so I think that that's the whole point, is it having character. There's somebody who collects exclusively. I saw, like, I think they did a book on it or something, Vinyl Records, where they only collect vinyl that has, like, the This Belongs To, or people, like, drawing faces on the album covers. And it's funny because in the vinyl community, as you know, everybody's, like, obsessed about it being in mint condition, but this person embraced the idea of it having character. Yeah. And like a provenance in a way, like a history to it.
Yeah. So. And I would say that's probably more rare with vinyl, because people have always treated vinyl a little bit more precious.
Mm-hmm. Well, you kind of have to. It's a delicate medium to begin with.
So you don't see many. You know what I would love to start finding at thrift stores is old mixtapes. People don't really get rid of them.
Well, it's usually because they were like DJing it themselves. They're like, Cindy, this one's for you.
Oh, and then Cindy held on to it forever because that's the only person who ever made poor Cindy a mixtape.
Yeah, we talked about doing an episode in the future on the art of the mixtape, and I think maybe we'll still do that. Speaking of covers and provenance and stuff like that, the movie we're getting into this week, we've had that movie with us pretty much since before we were married, right?
Yeah, we got it.
It does not have the cover, which I'm sad about. And I looked it up on eBay. I was like, well, maybe I could just buy a replacement. Apparently it's very rare and it's like $60 minimum. So we have the VHS.
Bequeath it in our will to our children.
but it's just in a little black blank slipcase, which is fine. So what are we talking about this week, Mariah?
Killer Workout.
A.K.A.
Aerobicide. A.K.A. There was one other one, wasn't there?
It's not Death Spa.
But that said it.
Yeah, but I think Death Spa is a totally different movie. Just Aerobicide. And Killer Workout, which, in my opinion, you already knocked it out of the park with one amazing name. How in the world, what a stroke of genius to come up with two amazing names.
I feel like they should have done, like, Killer Workout, colon, Aerobicide, or vice versa. Just put them both out there.
Yeah, sure.
Like, you choose. But, yeah, it's a good one. And this one we came upon at a video store back when they still had video stores.
Right.
This was in the early 2000s, but we, you know, it was the very end. And this place we found was called, we actually had to text a friend to double check the name. What was it called? I've already forgotten it.
Video World, I think, right?
I mean, so
this is in a very small town, like 1,000 people.
And
well, that's with the college. Right?
Eastern New Mexico. It's a very small town, a dairy community that smelled like poop all the time. And to escape it, we just watched a lot of movies. We were in college, and anytime we weren't in classes, we were probably watching movies. So we'd walk to this nearby Video World, and it was also important to note.
Yes.
A tanning salon.
It was. It had a great horror selection. Uh-huh. We wiped it out. There were a couple of video stores in town. Like every town we would move to, we would just tear our way through the whole horror section.
Mm-hmm.
And they had some pretty good ones, as I recall. And then they were doing a sale at one point, clearing out.
I think they were going out of business.
Well, and it was also the whole transition into DVD. I mean, DVD had been around for sure, but it wasn't, there was still videos.
Yeah, like everything was dual released.
Yeah, and this, nobody was renting VHS, but like us really in that small town. And so they started to clear house and we picked up a copy, an original copy, 1987 Academy video of Killer Workout. And that's what we have owned since before we were married.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the note that you just made was very important to today's episode, that we bought this movie in a video store / you go through the back door and it was a tanning salon.
It was like the whole place had the wood paneled wall, but it wasn't real wood. It was like a laminate wood.
Mm-hmm.
And there was carpet, like a brown carpet on the floor, as I recall. You know, the racks of movies. And then you just turn a corner and there was a tanning salon. And by tanning salon, I mean two paneled rooms with tanning beds on top of brown carpet.
You know, if this movie tells us anything, you only need one tanning bed to tell a good story.
And I mean... I could see the danger because there were no emergency exits in this particular video store / tanning salon.
Yeah, I liked that store. I wish we would have bought more videos before we left because I underestimated that everything... I just assumed everything was being converted to DVD. Mm-hmm. And although, like, this has now a lot of... There's a lot of stuff that we watch that was pretty obscure in 80s horror mm-hmm. that just has never been converted. And it's slowly, now that it's becoming more popular, it's getting reissued. But I was really surprised to still find to this day a lot of these films have just never been
issued. Well, sure. Who would buy them besides, like, 11 of us? I don't know,
but everybody's, like, our age now has some money to burn, and they're in a position to say, oh, you know what we should do? We should reissue this random film from the 80s.
Yeah, maybe.
But, so, Killer Workout, 1987.
Yeah.
Let's get into this, because this is, wow. I mean, this is really a treat. Directed by David A. Pryor. So, his first film was called Deadly Prey, and it's like a cult classic.
What's it? I haven't seen it.
I don't think I have either.
Is it P-R-E-Y?
P-R-E-Y, yeah. It's like a Rambo rip.
And that's too bad. I was hoping it was like Deadly Prey and like a play on words, and it's like about a killer priest or something.
No, it's Prey. And guess who stars in it?
Who?
You know Chuck from the film we're about to discuss?
Uh-huh.
Old kickboxing Chuck?
Uh-huh.
That's the director's brother.
What?
Yeah, and these guys have made a lot of films together.
So that was his second film?
Killer Workout?
We watched him in his second film?
Yeah, I think Killer Workout was his second. He might have even had one before that.
I felt very confident that was the first time he had ever stood in front of a camera of any sort.
Nope, he was just, that's the magic that he brings.
Wow.
So,
I mean, yeah. Way to go, dude.
David Pryor, he wrote and directed this film, this gem, and...
It's so good.
It is good. He has some other great titles to his films. I think I may... You know, there's Lifetime Achievement Awards. He's mm-hmm. dead now. Unfortunately, died a couple years ago. But I feel like he should have gotten an award for Best Consistent Movie Names. I wrote down a few for you.
Please.
In addition to Killer Workout, mm-hmm. a.k.a. Aerobicide, and Deadly Prey, here's some other highlights. Death Chase, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
Operation Warzone.
What?
And Hell on the Battleground.
Oh.
These are like... pseudo action
so
films.
He really, like Chuck this was Norris rips. A one-off for him to do what he did here.
Kind of. So I read an interview with him, and he said David Winters, who is a guy, another director, he directed Welcome to My Nightmare by Alice Cooper
mm-hmm.
and just some other random stuff. He did the 80s skate epic Thrashin' too. He directed that.
Oh,
they worked on this film together, and he said although he wrote the film, that David Winters is the one who came up with the idea to combine aerobics, which was really hot in the 80s, and horror, like slasher films, to put them together, making a first in history, like
marriage.
A cinematic moment in time.
Did they think they were like inventing a new genre?
I think it's safe to say this was the first time that an aerobics murder movie had been made, and it would change the world.
I think maybe not.
Anyway, that's who we're working with. That's the that's the crew. The cast is, you know, they're special, but they don't hold a lot of credits. Some of them have only been like, you know, 9 films, 13 films. They really didn't do much.
No.
The girl who looks like kind of like Rachel from Friends. What was her name in this movie? Jamie.
Oh, Jamie doesn't look like Rachel from Friends.
Yeah, she got that
She's
look,
She's just
though.
Got the style.
She was a soap actress. I think she was in, you know, General Hospital and Young
sure.
and the Restless and all that.
That.
So she was kind of, I think that was their heavy hitter.
Okay.
Anyway, this starts off with a really awesome opening scene. The score, when it starts, so there's like a...
This soundtrack is top notch.
Yes, there's a soundtrack and there's a score. And the distinction being that there's a composer that did the original music, which is very indicative of the 80s. It's got this kind of chopping mall feel where it's
mm-hmm.
really cool, like synthwave gold, like synth horror.
Yeah.
Mixed with that Nightmare on Elm Street kind of kooky, like dreamlike stuff. That's the score itself is absolutely incredible, and it opens up with this amazing number while the credits roll. Then there's the soundtrack, which is really something special. I read that David Pryor, the director, was given a box just filled with cassette tapes from the publishing company, and he was allowed to go through and pick the perfect songs for
and
his
he
film.
Did.
And he knocked it out of the park.
And he did.
And the soundtrack in both forms, both the score and the soundtrack, they've never been released. They were on like a promotional vinyl.
We need to start a campaign.
Yeah, I'm kind of shocked at this point with all these companies like Mondo and Waxwork and, you know, Death Walls, mm-hmm. all that, nobody has released it yet. I mean, it's kind of a...
Yeah, I don't understand amazing. Why not. At one point, there's a song, it's like Animal Workout, maybe.
Mm.
They just chant... sweat, reach, bend over and over. I mean,
what more do you need? This is going to come up again and again in this episode. This is pretty close to the perfect 80s horror for me.
Yes.
It's got almost everything I need in a film.
Okay. Well, maybe we should start because I'm guessing most people haven't ever and probably don't have access to it.
Right.
So let's give them a general sense of this film.
Okay, so the premise is it opens up with this really great scene, and for some reason they won't show her head because they don't want us to see who she is.
We can't see her face.
But there's this like 80s babe.
She comes into her apartment.
Mm-hmm. She checks her answering machine and she gets a message.
She's fixing food. Mm-hmm. She's like dancing around in 80s gear. She kicks off the coolest boots ever. She gets a message on the answering machine that's like, oh, hey, Valerie, you're going to go do Cosmo.
You mean on the cover of Cosmo?
Yeah, you're going to Paris tomorrow, cover of Cosmo.
Cut to the scene of her feet tapping really quick.
Yeah, like
she's doing the flash dance, like running in place.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then so she abandons eating, obviously, because you cannot eat.
Not if you're going to be on the cover of
Cosmo.
No,
she has to go tan.
Oh,
She's stop eating immediately. She's slapped her own dinner out of her mouth like she's going to take a bite of a sandwich. Mm-hmm. No, not really, because we don't see her face. But she like rushes out the door to like an all-night tanning place.
You know,
which I'm sure there 24-hour. Were. I'm sure there were 24 tanning booths in the 80s.
Yeah. And so she runs in. It's a very revealing scene with an extremely high thong.
So
it's up in there. And
I didn't actually, I thought she was nude, so I forgot she was wearing a thong.
Well, might as well have been. And it's not a very flattering
it's
angle.
Some angles, yeah.
Yeah, woof.
She got no say in that.
Yeah, so she lays down on her stomach and starts tanning, and something goes wrong. And the whole thing goes up in flames and she catches on fire. And that is our opening scene to Killer Workout. Mm-hmm. You know, that it's, I don't know how much you can start a film with that. The score, the tanning, burning, and then immediate jump cut to the ultimate 80s workout where we're in a gym. Rhonda's Workout is the name of the gym.
Yep.
And everybody... And okay, to those of you who have seen it, which hopefully there's a few of you, you're probably laughing out loud right now because if you haven't seen it in a while, it's all coming back.
Like a flood.
The magic
every
of this
time I
scene.
See it, yeah.
Oh, how many times do you think we've seen this film?
At least 5.
Yeah, I would say every couple years probably we watch it. And I still am blown away at how entertaining and hilarious this scene is. It's... Okay, how about, do you want to paint the picture?
Okay, so there's like a big room. We're going to call this a gym, but there's a lot of scenes where the whole place is kind of like, I don't know, kind of house-like. But we're in a big room with a wooden floor, and there's a lot of extremely fit, extremely 80s women aerobicizing. They are, and when I say aerobicizing, I don't think that you... understand. I don't think you can understand without seeing it, but...
It's not like a Denise Austin, you know, like kicking your knees up and moving your arms.
It's professional dancers, well, for sure, because they're all... It's good choreography, and they're all in step. And by good choreography, I mean good 80s choreography.
But yet there was no credit for the choreographer. I really wanted to see who it was.
I had to be one of them. Anyway, so they're all dancing, but then really the person to thank maybe for this is the cameraman, who is clearly like a gross perv.
I tried to figure out some more stuff. It's like one of the only things he's done too. And David, the director, said that it was miserable working with him because they had opposing visions to how this film should look. And I can tell you, I know how the cameraman wanted this to look.
So he fought with the cameraman?
Yeah. The cinematography is hilarious. A lot of like bouncing boobs, spread legs, like seductive stretches. Yeah. It's like the ultimate 80s aerobics.
Yeah.
Like porn aerobics with
it's
clothes.
Ridiculous.
It's hilarious.
And it goes on and on.
It's like the longest scene in the... I could have got up, made dinner and come back, and they would still be stretching and jogging in place. And the
high kicking,
the songs playing. It's like ultimate 80s ballad.
Yeah, they play the whole song.
Man, oh boy, did they. I think they started it over and just kept playing it again. They're like, we need more aerobics. Yep. But that's what we're opening up on.
There's a couple of guys. And also, you know, we have this extremely long intro workout scene, but you'll see this isn't the only workout scene we face. And I would say that
by any means.
Do you think half of this movie is workout scenes?
I would say
like 50% kind of plot and 50% workout.
It's kind of like a stopping point. It's, you know how some people like say when they talk and they stop and they go anyway, blah 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 blah. The workout scenes are the ums of a conversation. They just are thrown in there constantly.
But it's like one long,
and then one of them is like a really long, because they just go on forever. They're very entertaining. I will say though, by the end, I'm like,
oh
yeah, we've laughed hard at this. Probably could have done with one less.
Four less.
Until we get to the very end, but we'll save that.
So at this aerobics scene, we see a clearly annoyed aerobics instructor.
Yes, Rhonda.
This is where we see Rhonda, who looks like Joe from Facts of Life. I think it's Joe, the like tomboyish one.
Yeah, from... she's kind of.
Is it Facts of Life?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, you take
a rough
good...
around the edges a little. Yeah, she seems really annoyed. And then we get, you know, the other lead, Jamie.
Oh, she comes cruising in on
she like drops her. Yeah, what is she driving?
I don't know. It's a fancy car for the 80s. Like, she's full. She's in pink and black. She's got like a black leotard, like thong leotard, and then lots of like pink sweatbands and black shoes. But her boots are really impractical for an aerobics instructor because they're high-heeled workout boots, which I don't support that.
She comes in.
Rhonda's, about her arches.
Rhonda's really pissed at her.
Because she's late.
Yeah. And then we meet Jimmy, this like beefhead who is really horny, watching the girls constantly, sure what his role even is.
And there's like a question too, if he is like got some sort of, maybe he's a little slow or.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but he's like really trying to get with everybody, basically.
Uh-huh. Is he the one
Jamie,
trying to get with?
I think, or Rhonda. No, Rhonda.
Rhonda.
Yeah, and he can't take a hint. And then it does this camera shot of him kind of laying down the like red herring in a way of like, oh, maybe this is we should keep our eye on this guy. He's creepy.
He is creepy.
And he was creepy.
Everybody's creepy though, honestly.
Anyway, and speaking of the 80s, so we've got the music, we've got the aerobics, we've got the hair. Everybody's looking good. Did you notice all the posters around the building?
I saw a few of them, but I didn't make like a
they're
big
all
note.
Like
LA, aerobics.
They're
ones.
Like LA gear posters. So it's like women stretching and working out and men like pumping iron. It's really cool. Like whoever was in charge of the set design, that's what we're going to call it. Mm-hmm. It was something special. I just thought those posters were pretty cool. But we meet Jimmy. He's a creep. And then...
Well, they've all worked out. They got to go shower.
Yep. Yeah, we have to do a shower. Yep. I think that's where we're at, right?
Yeah. Okay. Because that brings us to our first murder.
Yeah, the music is a little Nightmare on Elm Street-ish right here again. I remember it's like it's getting kind of dark.
Well, yeah, like the women are showering. Everybody's about done. Except for one lady's like, I guess she's just slow to get in the shower or waited her turn and it's the last one. Her friend's like, hey, you gonna be in there all night? Mm-hmm. And she's like, yeah, I'm using hand soap to wash every square inch. It's like one of the kinds that you use at a public toilet in the shower, and she's squeezing it in her hands, and it keeps cutting to shots of her like rubbing it on her face and like her feet, and you're like, what are you doing with all this hand soap?
And then we get our first kill.
Oh, you don't want to talk about the hand soap?
No, because I remember it was really bothering you when we were watching it last time.
I was worried about her skincare routine.
Okay. Well, she doesn't have to worry about it very long because she takes I'm pretty sure a oversized 80s safety pin.
No, I think we concluded that it is in fact an 80s safety pin, like the kind you'd wear for fashion, like on your jean jacket,
or the kind that you would pin up your stuffed animal hammock in the corner of your room in the mm-hmm. 80s with.
Or if you had a baby that was an actual giant who wore, like, diapers and needed a safety pin.
It would be that big. And that is your murder weapon for this movie, everyone.
Well, we have a few, but that's the primary.
This, she gets butchered up by a... by a safety pin of, I would have to imagine, the slowest, most agonizing death, but somehow...
it's pretty effective.
Yeah, one stab and she's out. I mean, that little centimeter-sized hole is enough to do her in.
I don't even know how the killer had a good grip on that safety pin, honestly. I feel like, especially with all the water and the soap.
They handled it, though, with mastery.
Yes. It
clearly, like, practiced on a few melons before this, so... Ugh.
So while that's happening, everybody else is cleared out. Jamie is... cleaning up, I guess, because she's kind of in trouble for being late to aerobics.
Well, she opens up...
she goes into the men's locker room.
Opens up a man's locker and yep. pulls out a jock strap.
She's, like, bouncing
she's like,
it.
Yeah, she's, like, just messing with it. It's
for a really long
really
time.
Long scene of her messing with this jock strap. And then Rhonda comes and is like, ha, ha, ha. And then Jamie's really embarrassed.
It's, like,
and
shamed like a... like a child or like a dog who's caught eating out of the garbage or something.
That's our jock strap scene. So I don't know. Don't know what the point of that was.
I don't know either.
But I definitely appreciate it.
It was, I mean, it was long enough that I feel like it covered the time where the killer moved the body from the shower to the locker.
Yeah. And that scene too of the guy or the killer creeping around, it made me think that it would be pretty kind of creepy at night in a gym by yourself, like showering at night or something, and nobody else is there. Mm-hmm. It was the actual set itself is it was a decent spot to have a killing, but
okay.
I don't know. I was as I was watching it, I was like, I wouldn't want to be there by myself.
I
anyway.
Don't think you want to be in any like public place alone at night.
Yeah,
that would
I guess
just be
not.
Creepy.
We do get an excellent scene. This is one of my favorite scenes in the movie, which is the jump scare. So,
oh yeah,
she opens a locker. Is it who is it? Rhonda? That
no, it's Jamie.
It's Jamie. Opens up the locker, and this arm falls out, and she screams. But it's just a fake, like Halloween arm.
Yep.
And she's like, ugh, annoyed. Stuffs it in, and when she slams the locker to put that arm in, mm-hmm. the locker beside it opens, and the corpse falls out of the girl got killed in the shower. And the timing of it is so awesome. It's like jump scare, psych, real jump scare, corpse. And I just think, I just love that scene every single time makes me laugh. I think it's funny. I think it's perfect. It's just another one of the things that makes this film so great.
Oh, and also when they're like, the cops come in, remember?
The detective, yeah.
Yes, Detective Lieutenant Morgan is his
detective
name.
Detective Lieutenant.
Uh-huh. And Jamie's like, she was so pretty. And then, do you remember what Detective Lieutenant Morgan says?
He does. He turns and says, not anymore.
I like that that's their focus.
So he's got some great lines.
Yep.
He's not the best actor in the world, but boy, he's got some good lines.
I feel like every single actor in this film is at the same level. So there, we'll give him that.
It is. It's nice and consistent. It's cast consistently. So yeah, we've got our detective now. Oh, guess what comes next? Workout montage.
Yeah, so there's been a brutal killing and everybody's like, whatever.
Yep, they bagged it.
Got our aerobics.
Back
got
to
our aerobics.
Aerobicide. We've got to go back and just have some fun.
Mm-hmm.
This is like 80s perfection. These scenes are just the next montage. You just cannot help but have a huge smile on your face as it's so ridiculous and they don't hold anything back. Like they're going for these scenes and they do it to the fullest.
Shame.
No shame.
Total
the music's perfect. The wardrobe's perfect. The shots are hilarious. I mean, it is the girls' faces as they're working out. Like, these women look really intense.
Like, they think this is their big shot.
Well, so we had to talk about this when we watched it last, was I have to assume the direction was you need to do aerobics, but look really sexy as you do it. And they just let them interpret what the term sexy meant in their own mind. Because these women have very different ideas of what sexy aerobics is. And I think that's what's so entertaining.
Some are like aggressive with
their
facial
emotions.
Yeah,
some are like humping the ground, but they're doing it in like, oh, just stretching.
Some are smiling. Then there's one woman who like slaps her teeth together. I think she's like trying to count, but her mouth is just like flapping. It's very distracting, but also fascinating. I kind of just want to watch a video of her aerobicizing.
Yep. And here we get we get some buff men working out. We get a close up of some muscles. And these two guys who are real characters really know how to treat women well, having a private conversation.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't even remember what their names were. But then we meet for the first time Mr. Chuck Dawson, who is all muscle and all leg. He's very short shorts, very 80s.
Yeah.
He's got this hairdo that's pretty amazing. So this is the director's brother. This is the one here.
Oh.
Yeah, this is our main guy. So Chuck, you know what? I was kind of shocked that he's just like going through Rhonda's office through all the files and stuff. And she walks in and she's like, well, can I help you? He's like, yeah, just looking around. Well, actually, there was a little bit more. There was a little bit too much to that when I just delivered that line.
He's like, he just treats her like she's stupid. And...
Well, he's very monotone delivery, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I got you.
He's just... But he's looking around, snooping around, and then we find out he's the new guy. Her owner, co-owner is sent
senior,
him there.
Senior partner.
Senior partner.
Yes.
Wait, I'm so glad you wrote that down.
I took some notes. It's her senior partner.
You're getting better at it, and I'm very happy.
It says, Chuck Dawson, hired by senior partner, Rhonda Cranky. Okay. Those are my notes.
So.
She doesn't like it.
No, not at all. And they have a rough relationship right away. He's like, I just want to help out. What do you need? And she said, you can take out the trash or clean the men's toilet or something.
Yeah.
Cut to the next scene, which is holy moly, as this film could not get any better. We get
what even happened.
Jimmy pulling up in his vehicle, almost hitting Chuck carrying out the trash, and he says, "Hey, you know, you almost ran me over." Well, Jimmy, this is like testosterone central, and he gets out and he's like, "What do you mean?" And they're like puffing each other's chest, you know, against each other, and then as though. I don't even know how to describe this unless you've seen the movie.
I do. I wrote Beefcake's Fight.
Okay, well, that's one way of putting it. It is like an epic fight scene. It goes into full-on, like, kickboxing, kung fu.
Punches.
Roundhouses, flying kicks.
All over the Mustang.
Oh, it is incredible.
And meanwhile... the person who I've written as Sunvisor Debbie comes around the corner.
Oh, is that when we meet Debbie?
Yeah.
Okay.
She comes around the corner with her Sunvisor and her... I mean, I can't stress to you enough that you need to envision every single person wearing spandex. almost every woman has a spandex thong.
Yeah, like leotards.
With leggings.
Big hair.
And then the, like, puffy socks that go halfway up their calf. Often wristbands. Sunvisor Debbie. Debbie also has a sun visor. So she comes and sees the Beefcake fight. And she doesn't do anything. And her face is fairly neutral as she's observing. I think she's like saying, I'm going to go for the victor.
It's amazing, though. It's like an epic battle royale. I could not believe how intense the fight scene was. It turned into a Chuck Norris movie.
Yeah, for just like, I'm carrying out the trash.
It escalated
weird.
Fast. Yes. Like, really fast. They both were like just looking for some action. I have a note here.
Oh, yes.
I made a note that said, quote, this may be one of the greatest 80s movies ever made. I think it gets better. Every time I watch this movie, I forget how much I love
it. There's always something new to discover. So many layers.
It's like gets heightened up to the next level. It's like 11 right now. And so, yeah, so we get Debbie. She's another 80s babe. Mm-hmm. She wants to give him a little joyride.
Sunvisor Debbie.
Yeah.
Like, they celebrate his victory. And remember, this is his first day at work, and all he's done is clean the bathroom and take out the trash.
And then beat up a guy.
And then he goes for a cruise with Sunvisor Debbie.
Yeah, and she's really hot and heavy on it, like laying it on thick.
There's a song that comes on.
There is? Did you write down the lyrics?
The only She's a Knockout, Let Her Rock Out.
Yeah.
She's a knockout.
Let it rock out. So good.
So they play that while they cruise to Debbie's front yard.
Is it? No. Yeah, it's like a yard. They're just sitting in the yard.
It's like two of the really cheap 80s folding lawn chairs. Like the kind with a woven like nylon fabric.
Uh-huh.
And then a table with a phone, like a little plastic table with a red phone.
Yeah, like an emergency phone for a president, like the missile command phone.
Yeah.
And she's really like, I'm going to go slip into something more comfortable. He is not, he doesn't care at all. He's like,
but he was
whatever. Okay, sure.
He's like, let's celebrate my victory.
Yeah.
But then he's like, never mind.
And then
she goes to change into her sexy clothes from her thong aerobics clothes. Yeah. But which is weird because she comes out in something looser.
It's like a robe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Maybe she
remember because she
ready.
Opens it up kinda... and she's just got her bra on underneath.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He's like, okay, well.
And no, he turns her down.
Yeah, but that's because he just got off of a fake phone call.
This yeah, he is takes a yard call.
This scene is amazing. So there's a bright red phone sitting between their chairs outside.
It, yeah, and it would have taken like a, I don't know, like an 80-foot phone extension
cord? I guess,
cord?
But he just picks it up and starts talking on it. Yeah, okay, having
I think
a business
he dialed.
Meeting. It's hilarious. I mean, there's just
yes.
no way that this phone is connected to anything.
No.
It's like he's pretending, and then he sets it down. She comes out
he
ready to...
He was pretending. He's
ready, you know, ready to go, and he's just blows her off, and is like, see ya, and leaves. And that scene, everything about it is just great.
It's perfect.
It's perfect.
And then doesn't it just go right next to teenagers spray painting?
No, no. We get first the death in the apartment, remember?
Oh,
yeah. I will say, too, this film is pretty fast-paced for the most part.
It's 85 minutes and 45 of those is aerobic scenes. So.
And a lot of heavy death count in this film. There are
yeah.
a lot of kills. And
152.
We get another safety really. Pin kill here.
Oh, yes.
And then the killer busts through the window right as the detective's coming up.
Well,
he's doing this weird banging on the door, but he won't say it's the police.
Well, the reason is because they found, they think it's the murder weapon's a knitting needle, which is the stupidest mistake. Because
yeah.
if you've ever seen a
major
knitting
fail.
Needle, well, I guess scratch that because the murder weapon is even less practical
it's
than a knitting needle.
It's a giant safety pin.
Okay, so he has that and he thinks, I should go bang on the single woman's door in the middle of the night.
Like aggressively banging as though he's about to bust open the door and assault her. And so she's freaked out. She doesn't open
yes.
the door and
her,
the killer comes in and kills her.
Well, her acting as if she approaches the door, oh my goodness. It was like her moment.
Yeah.
So she was sitting there and hears the like door banging. And she, like, does the slowest ever walk where she's like, ooh, and her hands are flying around, touching her chest, lifting up. She just is like, ooh, goes and peeks, and then she backs slowly away. And it's like acting class. I mean, not to diss on this poor woman who was really trying her hardest, but it was definitely not. A seasoned actress's response. It just took a very long time. Perhaps it's the editor's issue. I don't know.
You mean in Killer Workout?
I don't know who to critique, and I feel guilty critiquing anybody because they all tried very hard.
But they
clearly.
Made a solid movie, though.
It's one of the best movies
it's
ever.
It's actually pretty coherent for the most part.
But so she backs slowly away, and there is the killer waiting with their safety pin,
yep.
their
they...
giant baby diaper pin.
Give her a good old stabbing that instantly kills her like a giant safety pin would. And then bust out the window. And then really, it picks up after that. There's a lot of kills. So then we get the scene of this street gang, classic 80s street gang. Which
but it's
is,
like
check
rich
it off.
Teens.
Yeah, it's kind of like suburban street gang.
Uh-huh.
But it's still almost checking off another one of my favorite things, which is the, you know, 80s gangs that just go around mm-hmm. getting into trouble, like the punks. Even though they're not quite punks, but they represent, they're doing some graffiti on the front of Rhonda's workout on her window.
They write
aerobicide and death spa.
Yes.
And so that was a really bad idea because the killer is not having any part of
She's
it.
She's mad.
This is just like a Friday the 13th movie all of a sudden. It's just kill after kill after kill. One of the punks or the street gang gets... like bludgeoned to death.
Uh-huh.
Another, she gets her throat slit.
Yeah, this is where we see some variety in the weaponry.
Oh, yeah. Another one gets stabbed into the top of the head.
Honestly,
the
like,
roof.
She deserved it.
Yeah,
she
that
deserved
was
to die because her brain was not functioning. She was sitting in a like canvas top car going, ooh, ooh, with the keys. Like, all she had to do is like duck and drive away. But
yes.
instead, she just sits there. While the killer is stabbing through the roof.
Until he finds, it's like the whack-a-mole. He finally finds the right spot. You know?
But it's like a short knife and a canvas roof, and they're just like stab, 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 stab to the
top of the head. I mean,
and it's so many stabs. Like, they basically cut out a window, and then they could have pulled it back and then attacked her.
It was so many kills. It was just rapid fire. I just was whoa, this is really going after it. And then, you know what we should follow up all those kills with?
More aerobics.
Yes, a workout scene. So we're back to working out.
We get this has all happened at Rhonda's workout, and there's still more.
Yep, still working
out. More working out. Nobody's even given a thought to closing it, because
nobody cares.
It's all these 80s people who gotta work out.
There has been, like, brutal, many, many murders at this point, and it has not changed the programming at Rhonda's workout one bit. Classes are on time. Mm-hmm. Everybody's accounted for. They are sweating, and it is great.
They're aerobicizing.
They're aerobicizing. Then it gets to another little sub scene. You know, we talked about this too. This gym or this place is kind of like in the 80s, how everybody had a hair salon or some sort of business out of their house. That's what this kind of feels like. Like, half of it looks like somebody's house, even though it's got a facade.
It's kind of
like gym. It's really weird. And so there's this other separate section. These two guys are working out. They're saying,
it looks like a bedroom with weight equipment.
Yeah. Is this the scene when they're talking about the dead girl?
And no, he goes, that was earlier.
Oh, and he's like, oh yeah, I would have definitely still had sex with her.
Yeah.
Oh well, yeah. So no, well, one of them takes a dumbbell to the face and gets killed. Mm-hmm. His buddy comes in, finds him, and guess how he dies? Giant safety pin.
One to
the
brain.
Forehead. Yeah, yeah. Straight to the forehead, like a zombie.
Think about how thick that skull is. You'd have to, like, be like an Egyptian priest, like, tapping at it with a little hammer to get it through.
That's
there.
So true.
But instead, it's like, weak, one through, and he's dead.
He's killed, and this is another one of my favorite scenes. It will make me, last night when we watched it again, brushed up on it, I had tears in my eyes. I was laughing so hard because Jimmy walks in, finds the two dead bodies. This all happens in a split second. Mm-hmm. He walks in, kneels down to look at the bodies. Somebody walks in, maybe Jamie or somebody, spots him around the body, screams, and before you know what's even happening, before you can even tell, what's his name? Chuck? Is that the main guy? Chuck.
Okay.
Chuck, in a split second,
Dawson,
like, okay, Jimmy kneels down, sees the stuff, she walks in, sees him, thinks he's the killer, screams. This all happens in a split second. He jumps over this barrier like a staircase, clears the whole staircase, and just starts beating him. Like,
just like that.
But not like one punch, two punch, but
well,
like,
we know how Chuck Dawson fights.
He is.
He's all in.
He's all in. It is like rapid fire
pedal
punches to
the
face.
Metal.
Beating him down right away. And that is what happens. He beats him unconscious because then we get a dream sequence from Jimmy. And I'm like, what just happened?
Yeah,
this all just happens so fast. It is.
Yes, while unconscious.
Yeah, he sees
Jamie.
He sees Jamie getting her throat slit, right?
Well,
no,
like,
his self comes up.
She seduces him, and then he's the killer?
He is a double of himself. It's like his doppelganger comes up and kills her.
Oh, that's... And then you're like, okay, we've solved this riddle. We know who the killer is. It's definitely him.
Yeah, and again, nobody seems to mind any of the killing whatsoever.
Nope.
Then we flash to a pool scene. I don't know where this pool... Is this Rhonda's house?
I thought it was at the gym, but it's unclear.
I think it's Rhonda's house.
Oh, okay.
And there's a pool scene, and Chuck is spying, like, scoping out the place, and guess who spots him spying?
Who could it be?
It's Jimmy. And guess what Jimmy wants to do?
Oh, murder.
He wants to fight. He wants another epic beatdown. It's like Kickboxer Extreme. This one, however, is like 10 billion times cooler than the other two.
Yeah.
Because now he's really getting it. He's giving it to Chuck. And they are
well,
like...
Well, because Chuck's been the victor.
Multiple punches to the stomach. Punch, punch, kick, roundhouse. And then it's crazy. Then it stops when Chuck picks up a rake and stabs Jimmy in the leg.
Uh-huh.
And Jimmy looks at him, pulls the rake out, And they go back to fighting.
I'm not one to give medical advice, but if you've been impaled, please don't pull it out.
It was just this whole fight scene was like Walker, Texas Ranger. It just was amazing. And it ended with Jimmy doing a full roundhouse to the face of Chuck.
Yep.
Knocking him into the pool. Oh, I mean, this film has just got so much going for it.
I feel like everyone overreacts to their situation.
Everybody is like to the extreme. They have to not just kind of have strong feelings. They have extreme feelings.
Yep.
Which makes for a great movie.
Yeah. Okay. So we've had three more murders. We find out aerobics.
So they pull Chuck out of the pool and we find out that Chuck is a PI. Surprise.
That's why he's been snooping.
So he's been snooping. Then I just have in my notes, Jamie's dead?
Yeah, so, yep, I have...
did I miss something?
Nope, you did not. Okay. It's just a lack of continuity. But basically, Jamie's on the back of the door, hanging and dead, which is kind of unfortunate because she was one of the main characters, or kind of.
Yeah, it really caught me off guard. I remember just being...
Oh, there's Jamie.
Really confused.
Her storyline ends.
Why? But you know how we should follow up that death?
More working out.
Another aerobic scene.
More aerobics.
Yeah, right back to the women doing the leg spread with an awesome synth song playing.
Uh-huh.
Boob shots, you know, like, it's hilarious. Mm. That's how you follow up any death scene.
Yes.
Naturally.
Obviously, Rhonda's workouts cannot stop.
No.
Nothing can stop.
Yes. No. And so, but this is where we get the aerobicide theme song.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yep.
It's pretty amazing.
It's so good.
I found out that they released every single song on here as a 7-inch single, but not the album itself.
What?
I know. So somewhere out there is a 7-inch
Send them to
of
us.
Aerobicide. If anybody has it, let me know.
I will draw your portrait.
Do a trade like we do with everything.
Yeah.
Then guess what happens after that?
Well, first we see the cop rapid fire walking. Remember that?
Oh.
Because I have a note.
Oh, walking to his car.
I wrote.
Oh, it's because Chuck's at the door of somebody's house, right?
Oh, yeah.
And he throws him the keys and he's like, here, this will make it easier or whatever. And then he walks back to his cop car.
Mm-hmm. But it's like he is really close to pooping his pants. It's
clenched.
It's very clenched. Either he was just extremely aware that his backside was being filmed or some other issue, but it's a really tight walk that you can't help but notice and go, what's going on?
Oh, it's something special.
It's a full squeeze.
And then that's followed with Chuck's killed by Jimmy.
Yep.
That happens really fast.
Yeah, and it seems, I mean, their relationship has been on the fast track from
the
beginning.
It's been destined. Jimmy runs him over after Chuck shoots at him. And then Jimmy gets out and stabs him.
I feel like this could have really been resolved by Chuck just stepping out of the road.
Or them just giving each other a hug and saying, you just want to grab a beer, man?
Yeah. Because
they really just had it out for each other.
Mm.
I want to see a side story that was a film of just them fighting the
whole
time.
They could have been like amazing buddies too and fought crime
like
together.
Double Dragons.
Yeah, but instead, tragedy.
No, so he's dead. He's out of the picture. So now we've lost...
Our PI...
We've lost the leading lady and the leading guy. They're both dead.
Well, not
now.
The. Is there
a
leading lady?
Kind of.
Because, like, Rhonda's kind of a leading lady. Jamie's kind of a leading lady.
Well, the detective goes over to Rhonda's house because he's put two and two together.
Okay.
He confronts her, and we get. Are you ready? Close your ears, everybody, if you haven't watched
spoiler
this.
Spoiler alert.
This is a huge spoiler. We get the big reveal. Who's Rhonda?
Well, we see some weird, weird head, like a big...
Putting on a wig, right?
Mutated head putting on a wig. And it's Rhonda! I actually wrote, it's Rhonda McBurnhead, which is pretty insensitive.
Rhonda's actually Valerie from the beginning of the film. She was...
No.
Yeah. And she's had it out because everybody has beautiful bodies.
Mm.
And he... calls her on it. The detective says, it's because you're looking at all these people with their beautiful bodies and you can't stand it. And then we get the other big reveal, which is Rhonda in anger opens up her shirt to reveal her,
crumbled
up burnt breasts.
It was kind of like they took her body and then they put wet tissue paper all over
so
it and then a spray tan.
Funky.
It doesn't look like a burn at all. I don't even know what it looks like.
Though his reaction. So she's like, "Take a good look. Take a good look." And she shows him her burnt boobs, and he just writes, "That's not necessary."
Hold on. There was more to it. He tells her that suddenly she couldn't get a job starring in a freak show. Then she flashes him, and he goes, "That's not necessary." And so he body shames a burn victim, yeah. Albeit a murderous burn victim.
That's true.
And then he cuffs her.
Right. And then we cut to a chase scene, and that is Jimmy and the detective. And this is the longest chase scene in the world. They're like in an old yard, a warehouse yard, running around shooting at each other. It just, this whole film shifted pretty dramatically.
Is it like in a quarry or something like that?
I don't know, but there's some great Scooby-Doo scenes where it's like one's going one way and one's going the other, and then that like shows that they're crossing, they're almost seeing each other. It's like when in Scooby-Doo, one goes in one door and one goes
like
out the other.
Like through one window, you see one go one way and one go the other.
It is the longest scene, and it was the only moment in this film where I was like, oof, this is... This is going on a long time.
They took a note from the aerobics scenes.
Right, but this just had no, like, entertainment value. I mean, there was a little bit of entertainment to it. But it goes on for a long time. I need to back it up real quick. I do have a question about the reveal of Rhonda being Valerie. Mm-hmm. She is burned over, what did he say,
70% of her body. So apparently her face and hands and neck are unburned.
Right. Her face is perfect and her hands are perfect. Was she not on her stomach at the beginning of the film when she catches on fire?
Yeah.
The only thing that would have burned immediately would have been her face, right? Like,
I mean, who knows what part of that tanning bed misfired?
Did I miss something and she turned around? That's why the back of her head's burned?
I don't know. It's very unclear.
Okay. I mean, I just really
I don't think that they used science.
Okay. Well, whatever.
Or logic or reason.
There's this whole fight scene. Jimmy beats up the detective. Then he returns back to Rhonda where he's like, "I did it for you. I killed Chuck because I love you."
Yeah.
But he sees her naked and he's kind of grossed out because he didn't know. It's like just her naked, burnt body. And she pulls out a gun and shoots him right there. And
because he like kind of hesitates.
Yeah. I was like, whoa, this is the perfect ending. I have a note that said it should have ended here. This should have been. In my mind, this was like the perfect ending, but we were not so lucky.
No, I think like everything else in this movie, they needed to overdo it just a little bit.
Oh, it was overdone because then it cuts to kind of a confusing scene where Rhonda and the detective are on a road trip. And
they're in a car.
Then we get to the most unnecessary scene of the whole entire film, a very long, drawn out backstory. At the very end of the film...
Yeah, it's the last couple minutes.
The film's done. Like, the credits should be rolling at this point, and this is when the detective says, "I've brought you to my father's land. My father was a good cop. He always did the right thing. Sometimes you can't do the right thing." While he's going on and on and on to Rhonda about how he's basically brought her out there with a shovel to kill her and bury her because she got away with murder. Because
she's real bad, and he's going to... Do a bad thing to save others.
While he is going on, and this is a really long, unnecessary backstory. She just picks up the shovel and hits him, which I was kind of like rooting her on at that point because he was just such an idiot for talking about his dad for so long. It was like a typical Bond scene where the villain's talking about what he's going to do for so long that Bond just escapes, like while the guy's still talking to himself.
Yeah.
It's what was happening. She picks up the shovel, hits him in the head.
They didn't mean for it to be funny that way.
No, but it was, like, pretty awesome. And then it goes to Rhonda at Rhonda's workout, and everybody's cheering her.
She's back at the gym.
She's like a celebrity now.
Yeah.
She's like, she survived the killer.
Yeah.
And she's special.
It's all behind her.
I also have a note here that says Mariah falls asleep.
No, because I have a note that says back to gym. Giggle with pen.
I have a note that's between final workout scene, Rhonda's popular, and then a final shot of Rhonda. Mariah falls asleep because I looked over and you were sleeping and I thought, you made it. You almost made it to the very, very end of a film.
No, I did kind of zone out. Like, I went into that pre-sleep trance a couple of times, like, because I was like, well, if if this workout scene goes on for 2 more minutes, I could kind of sleep for 2 minutes. But
well, you woke up just in time to see the ending, which is Rhonda in her office pulling out the giant 80s safety pin and laughing.
And this is actually the first time that we are confirmed that she has a giant safety pin.
Safety pin, yeah.
Because every time you've been like, is that a giant safety pin?
And then the film's done and the credits roll, but no, it's not done.
We've
got a post-credit montage of aerobics. And
so much more aerobics. So many more.
That's how the film ends. And that, everybody, is killer workout.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it's a
aerobicide. You should watch this.
You should definitely watch this.
Only if you like exploitation, aerobics,
80s music,
irreverence,
fight scenes,
lack of compassion to burn victims, or really women in general.
Bad acting.
Oh, good acting.
And death with a giant 80s safety pin.
Yeah.
Maybe. There you go. This is the film for you.
Tick those boxes. Go run. Actually, don't run. Aerobicize your way to the nearest, I don't know, movie store.
Yeah, let it rock out. So that's it.
She's
everyone.
A knockout. Let it rock out.
And next week we're going to be back with, who are we discussing next week? Max Headroom, right?
Yeah.
Okay, we've got something special there. I don't know the story. So we're going to go on a journey and we're kind of dividing and conquering on this story. But that's what we're bringing to you next episode.
Uh-huh.
And as always, you need to go on and give us all the stars if you like what we're doing.
I looked into it.
Oh, and how many were there?
Five.
Five stars. Okay.
Give
us five stars if you like this
stuff.
Please.
You don't have to write stuff.
Yeah, don't write like they're not funny or...
That would hurt my feelings.
Yeah, that's unnecessary. That's just mean.
Just be nice.
If you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. But you can give stars as long as they're nice stars.
Or if you have to say mean things, go whisper them to your pillow.
That's
don't
right.
Make us hear it.
I'm going to go bite my pillow. And also give the stars, rating, review, subscribe on iTunes. You can check us out on lasergraves.com to see the back issue or back episodes. And then you can follow us on Instagram at lasergraves. You can follow me at EK Wimmer on Instagram. And
so much, so fast. I am on Instagram as at Mariah Rose Wimmer. But as always,
three hundred episodes in, and you're still going to be doing this.
People need to know my parents did not add an H to Mariah, so it's MARIA Mariah Rose Wimmer .com. Oh wait, nope, Instagram.
Good job every time.
All
right, everybody, have a good week. We'll see you next time.
Bye.